Elizabeth Elliot says, there's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about one of those amazing paradoxes of Jesus, that we may find ourselves by losing. We've been talking about authority and differences and equality. And whenever two human beings or more live together or try in any way to get along together or work together, there has to be a lot of give and take. There has to be sacrifice. There has to be submission. And there has to be somebody in charge. We heard the story of how Moses and Aaron were given authority over the people of Israel, not because God hated the people of Israel, but because he loved them and he wanted someone to take care of them. And so he gave Moses and Aaron what for them was a very difficult job. In fact, it was so difficult that Moses told the Lord he'd really rather die than have to carry on with it. He got so fed up with the children of Israel and their complainings and their moanings and groanings. He said, did I bring these children into the world? Do I have to carry them in my bosom? I'd rather die than do that. So the person in charge is one who has to make sacrifices. As the old maxim is, heavy lies the head that wears the crown. And I know a young woman who went through two marriages looking for what she called an egalitarian marriage, one in which everything would be done half and half. She did not like housework, and she insisted that she was going to go out and get a job and do something as fulfilling and as interesting as her husband, and they would have to split the housework 50-50. Well, in her case, she had to admit that it really didn't work. She was convinced that it didn't work because her husband really didn't like it that way. She called him an MCP, a male chauvinist pig. And she unloaded him and she went out looking for somebody else, and she had exactly the same experience. Even though the second husband, as far as I could tell, was with the best will in the world, trying his best to make this 50-50 thing work out the way she thought it should. But somehow that one didn't work either. And the last I heard, she was still looking for a third so-called egalitarian marriage. Any of us who are married know that each party must give in from time to time. It's not as though one person is the boss and everything he says has to be instantly capitulated to. I would not want anyone to get the idea that this is what God is talking about when he talks about authority. But somebody has to make the final decision. The buck has to stop somewhere. I have four brothers, and I have four very wonderful, very wise, sensible sisters-in-law. And one of them, my sister-in-law Lovelace, who's married to my brother Tom, told me that on their honeymoon, they had some severe tests of this whole business of submission and authority. And I guess they had about as severe a test as anybody could have on a honeymoon, because they had a 2-month honeymoon traveling by car in Europe. I'm convinced that there is no situation to which we human beings subject ourselves voluntarily which is calculated to bring out more of the worst in us than that of travel. And just try taking a car trip sometime with more than one person in the car, and there is ample scope for argument, for disappointment, for hurt, for disgust, and you name it. Anyway, my brother Tom is one of those people who is sure that he's going to get lost. I'm very much like him. I was born convinced that everybody else in the world knew what they were doing and where they were going, but I didn't. Anyway, Lovelace is a good map reader and a good navigator, and she would have it all planned how they were going to get from point A to point B. And her husband was convinced that she was mistaken, and they better stop and ask somebody here, and maybe they ought to take that road there because this sign said so-and-so, and she said, yes, but the map says this. And she said after about a day or two, she realized that the wisest thing for her to do was to simply take the consequences. In other words, to go ahead and get lost. It was better than trying to argue with her husband. That was a lesson which has stood her in good stead for the rest of their very happy married life. And she is now in a position where she counsels many young women with their marital questions and problems. And she said to me not very long ago, "Don't you find when you counsel married couples that 9 times out of 10, the answer is to the young woman, just back off and shut up?" Well, I can just hear somebody out there saying, but what about him? Doesn't he ever have to back off and shut up? Why should I be the one that always has to take the consequences? Well, of course, I can't answer that question right now, but I hope that maybe the answer will come through before we've finished. Submission, for most of us, is an odious word. We don't really like the idea of putting ourselves under somebody unless we can be absolutely sure that that person is going to make us happy, as in the case of athletes who put themselves under a coach or musicians who put themselves under a conductor because they want to play football or they want to play in an orchestra. But we are born rebels. We rebel against God, as did Adam and Eve. We rebel against those he puts over us because we're continually motivated by fear. We're so afraid that we're going to lose our freedom, lose our happiness, lose even our personhood. And the idea of submission, unfortunately, is synonymous in many people's minds with servility, with being a doormat, with being a nobody, becoming a zero. But the Bible tells us that God made the woman to be a help for the man. The word meet in that verse that says that she was to be a help, meet for the man, the word meet is an old English one that means fit, adaptable, suitable to the need of that man. If we are going to be helpers, obviously we can't be nobodies, we can't be zeros. 1 + 0 does not make 2. God meant us to work together in cooperation, in harmony. And we also have some very strange ideas about what authority is supposed to be, according to the Bible. As submission does not mean servility, being a doormat, being a nobody, being a zero, neither does authority mean being the boss, being a tyrant, being domineering, or being cruel. In fact, it means quite the opposite. Jesus said, "Whoever would be first must be the servant of all." And God is always talking about love. Submission and authority in a marriage are to be motivated out of love. Love, first of all, for Christ. You remember that when Moses was put in charge of the people of Israel, it was not an authority which he had chosen himself and assumed. It was an authority which had been assigned. And I have to remind myself that the authority which my husband holds over me as my head is not something which he has earned. It's not something which he has achieved. It's not what I give him. It has been divinely assigned. And so that verse in Ephesians 5, which is one that is so unpopular with wives, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the man is the head of the woman, just as Christ also is head of the church." That verse is one that we don't want to hear about. It is preceded by a verse that says, "Be subject to one another." Verse 21 in Ephesians 5, "Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. It doesn't say be subject to one another because the other guy is a whole lot smarter than you are, or because your husband is more spiritual than you are, or because he's a lot stronger than you are. Be subject out of reverence for Christ. My love for Christ will be expressed in my love for the one whom he's put over me. My submission to Christ will be expressed in my willingness to submit to the one whom he has put over me. And in a marriage, there are things that all of us need to do gladly, which we don't necessarily like to do. I heard a woman tell the story of how when she married her husband, she found out that he had lived on a farm where they were always having to be careful about the trash because it might breed cockroaches and rats. She lived in the city where garbage was collected daily. Well, she found out that her husband was used to seeing the tin cans that were used in the kitchen washed before they were thrown into the garbage. And she said, "But honey, that is ridiculous. They get collected every day." He said, "I want the cans washed." She said, "But we don't have cockroaches here. We don't have rats here. Why should I wash the cans?" Well, she said, "You know, I just decided I don't need to argue about that. I love this man." And guess what? She said, "I wash the cans."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. This is Joy Raley inviting you back for more encouragement and challenge with Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.